He believes in evolution. All these people laughing at Don, but then Don prays. It's kind of a Disney prayer. This isn't a Disney film, but it's a Disney prayer. Please go back when you watch early Disney classics and you see all the prayers. They're not prayers, they're wishes. He wishes, I wish I were a fish. And whatever deity is out there hears him because it gets dark and the light shines down on Don and the angels sing, be careful, be careful. And then Don Knotts falls into the ocean and watch as he goes through the theory of reverse evolution. They're mocking him. They're making fun of him. He's the idiot, but he's right. He's right. Watch. You'll see the book falling down behind him in just a second. There it is. Fast forward. Daughter, sophomore in college. She calls me. Dad, you're not going to believe it. There's millions of years in My Big Fat Greek Wedding. Who in here has seen this movie? How many caught the millions of years? You caught it? Two? My daughter caught it. Now, am I telling you to go watch this? No, there's fornication. There's all kind of stuff. Disobedience to fathers. And, you know, I'm not telling you to watch this stuff. But if you're going to watch it, catch those messages and have those conversations. My daughter says, you're not going to believe it, Dad. Now, you got to understand, this is 90 minutes of a waste of a man's life. I'm not going to watch this, okay? Ladies, hear me. There's only two reasons a man is going to go watch this film. Number one, they are dating. Number two, they're married and their wife is mad, or it's a birthday or anniversary. Period. That's it. I mean, nothing dies, nothing explodes. This is a waste of a man's life. Serious. Come on, guys. Come on, back me up on this. That's right. That's just the way it is, ladies. I'm sorry. Learn it now, okay? She calls me. There's evolution in my big... Glad you got that. There's evolution. Watch the clip. It's there. Catch that? It's there. My daughter caught it. Now let's go to Fantastic Four. Who saw this? Ah, a number of you. Yes, evolution is there, but there's something else that I think we need to talk about here, especially dads, you and me. We need to talk. Why did Sue leave Reed? Why did she leave him in the movie? Why did she leave him? They were dating. She left him, and now they were coming back together. Why did she leave him? Who caught that piece? Why? You're the first person to ever get that. Listen to this clip. Dad, you catch that? You don't think your children are being taught a morality? You don't think that there's a different morality going on in this younger generation? I just wanted to share an apartment. What's the big deal? Christian, that morality is getting jammed down our throats. And let's be honest, Dad, if we don't talk to our children about this issue, the world is. And you're not going to like what the world is telling them. We've got to step up and start talking to our children. I mean, listen to this starlet. Lindsay Lohan, my mom is going to kill me for speaking about sleeping with people, but I don't want to put myself in the position where I'm in a monogamous relationship right now. I'm not dating just one person. Sex in the City television program changed everything for me because those girls would sleep with so many people. How about Scarlett Johansson, another starlet? I do think on some basic level we are animals, and by instinct we kind of breed accordingly. You don't think that that morality is running rampant through this next generation? Fathers, if you don't talk to your children, the world is. And I can tell you right now, from the number of churches that I go into, it's there. How many of y'all saw this movie? Yeah. My son caught this clip. Now, you can automatically know something about my son. Right? There's only two reasons to go to a movie. He's not married, so guess what? He's dating. Yeah. All right, for those of you that haven't seen the movie, let me give you the brief run through. You've got this fairy tale land, cartoon kind of comic land, and the princess comes out because the evil witch doesn't like her because she's engaged to her son. But the son really loves her, but she kicks her out into the real world where she meets, it's complex. It's complex. She meets the divorced guy who's engaged to this girl here, but they fall in love, and she, it's complex. But those of you, how many saw it? Come on, let me see your hands again. Interesting point. When he and she end up getting together and they go back to cartoon land, what happens? What happens? They get married. They get married and they live happily ever after. Wow, there's a great morality story. That's what you're supposed to do. You fall in love, you live happily, or you get married and live happily ever after. Oh, by the way, notice the quote-unquote Christian, the one that's doing the ceremony. Look how he's depicted. Notice that? I did this talk in Kentucky a little bit ago, and they said, he's a hillbilly. That's what one of the kids said. I'm not saying that's what the child said. But did you notice? They get married and live happily ever after. My son caught this, and he said, Dad, but guess what happened to the princess who stayed in the real world, who got together with the divorcee? Did they get married? Did they? Look at the hand. This is what my son caught. Do you see a wedding ring there? He said, you know, Dad, I don't know that they're teaching this, but these kind of things don't slip through the cracks. You look at the hands. There is no wedding ring. You see, that fairy tale land, you get married and live happily ever after. Today's world, you just live happily ever after. That's the morality that's getting jammed down our children's throat. Now, even if they're not teaching that, does it not allow me to talk to my children about this issue? You see, I remember being a young man, and there was a song that used to be sang. It was, first comes love. Then comes Carl pushing the baby carriage. There's a new television program that I just heard being advertised, and it went like this. First comes love, then comes the moving van. Because the whole program is about how two couples moving in together, this woman would help them, counsel them to decide what they keep and what they get rid of. You don't think there's a different morality? Christian, if you are not talking to your child about sexuality, the world is. There's one book out there by a friend, Sean McDowell. You know his father, Josh. Sean is an excellent communicator, and he deals with this issue straightforwardly. We need to deal with it. How about this issue, Spider-Man? How does Spider-Man get his powers? Bit by a spider. What kind of a spider? Radioactive. That's old school. You're talking my language now. That's the comic book. Is he strong? Listen, bub, he's got radioactive blood. Any song that could use bub is cool, okay? I'm sorry, man. That was like the song. I'm a Spider-Man fan, all right? But they changed the spider in the movie. What was the spider in the movie? Genetically altered, genetically enhanced. Why did they change it from radioactive to genetically enhanced? Because you see, we've been doing a lot of research. When Stan Lee first started inventing all these Hulk and X-Men and Spider-Man, radioactivity was the tool. That was the mechanism. Get a mutation to cause these extra powers to happen. Does radiation cause mutation? You betcha. It can take existing information and mess it up. You can start with arms and end up with no arms. You can start with legs and end up with no legs. Can you start with scales and end up with a feather? No. Radiation will cause mutation, but it messes up existing information. It doesn't add anything new. In order for these special powers to come along, you need something new. So what did they do? They genetically enhanced it. Think about this. In that first movie, when they took those five different spiders and pulled them together, how many scientists, how much time, how much money, how much intelligence went into pulling all of this existing information into one thing? It's actually proof of intelligent design, which I'm not a big fan of, but if you want to talk about it, there you go. It's there. Evolution? Yep, it was in the first one. Oh, I'm sorry, I forgot to show you the whole clip here, but let me show you the evolution. 40,000 years of evolution, we barely even touched the last of humans. You know, I'm serious when I say that Spider-Man was my all-time favorite as a young man, and the one thing that I really wanted was spider sense. I thought spider sense would be like the coolest thing going, man. I'm walking up home, going to open the door. Woo, mama's mad, I'm out of here. Mom was mad at me a lot because I was a bonehead kid. That's the reality. So it wouldn't have helped that much. But I'm 48 years old, and I've had to come to the realization, and it hurts, but I'm never going to get spider sense. But you know what? There's something that's better than spider sense if I use it correctly. It's called Bible sense. You see, if I can use this as it was given to me, as that spotlight, that lamp into my feet, and that light into my path, this is going to beat spider sense in a big way. Why don't we use it like that? Because the average time a child spends in school is 900 hours a year, and I don't care if it's homeschool, I don't care if it's Christian school, I don't care if it's public school, I don't care if it's charter school. They're spending that much time in a school system. And if we aren't teaching our children how to apply their faith to the real world, it doesn't matter what room they're sitting in. Homeschoolers, Christian schoolers, charter school, public school children are leaving their faith at the same rate. That's what our research showed. The thing that made the difference was us teaching them how to apply their faith to the real world. 900 hours a year there, 1,023 in front of a television set. We've got the world coming after our children using Finding Nemo, Lilo and Stitch, and The Incredibles. That's become like the Christian babysitter. We pop that stuff in. By the way, every one of those have messages in there that undermine the Word of God. Every one of them. Oh, also, by the way, every one of them had Christians that worked on the program. We're selling our talents out to the world. Create messages that undermine the Word of God. Now, the world uses Finding Nemo, Lilo, and Stitch, and The Incredibles, and now I'm going to really offend some of you, but hear me. Hear me. They use Finding Nemo, and then we in the church, we come along and we break out the flannel graph. Child Evangelism Fellowship folks, don't get mad at me. I'm not opposed to flannel graph. There's a time and a place. It can work. But then there's also a time when we have to face the facts that there is a generation that's been raised out there on Finding Nemo, and I break out the flannel graph and there's a disconnect. Hear my heart. I'm not chucking stones at you. You know, I have a lot of the folks that come up and they're very upset with me when I make that comment. Then I got the younger folks that are coming up saying, finally, somebody sees it. This is a generational thing that I'm saying to you guys. I'm not attacking, but I'm saying that if we have a mindset that is outdated, this generation has been raised to think a different way. 2.3 seconds. That's the attention span. Why do you think I do what I do with all of these pictures? Because if I want to keep 5 to 95, you better have stuff going on. 2.3 seconds. It's a different generation. You see, we have got to start learning how to use this, the presentation, to reach a different audience out there. They think they know us. It's like we walk out there and the non-Christian thinks they know us because they've seen us on Family Guy, Simpsons, and Desperate Housewives. They've seen the Christian, so they've got their own spider sense. Spider sense goes off, Christian, I know what they are. It's kind of like the Terminator. You remember the Terminator movie? That Terminator character, man, you couldn't get that thing to deviate. He was programmed with one thing. He was locked. You couldn't get him to deviate, man. He was locked in on his function in life. He had Terminator vision. Christian, I want to say it like this. We are dealing with a people that have worldly vision. They have been trained to see us in a very specific manner. We come along, their worldly vision thing kicks in. Christian. Oh, we know about Christians. They're not very smart. You ask them a question, they'll give you their opinion. Closed-minded, intolerant, bigoted, and opinionated. That's the attack. I'm not saying it's real, but that's the attack. And by the way, we fall into that stereotype when we don't get out there and get out of that stereotype. Oh, yeah, we know them. The Bible. You're kidding, right? You're kidding, right? That old, outdated book filled with fairy tales and fables, and it's got all those mistakes and copying errors. Are we giving answers to that? I'm not saying it's right, but this is the message that they're getting. You don't believe me? Turn on the programs. Turn on the programs and watch what they do when it comes to the Bible. All the Bible, Discovery Channel Bible programs, making excuses and making a mockery of the Word of God. Oh, the flood, it wasn't a real flood. It was just some flood that happened over there, and this guy commandeered a boat, and that's where we got Noah's Ark from. Teaching it as secret mysteries of the Bible. That's what they know. old, outdated, filled with fairy tales, but we're going to pull out our big gun. Here we go. You ready? We got them. God loves you, has a wonderful plan for your life. Christian, do you think they know who God is? I'm in Japan in a month and a half, 166,000 gods stand on a street corner. God loves you. Huh? They don't know. How about this? Love. Do you think the world knows what love is? I just wanted to share an apartment. What's the big deal? They don't know what love is. If you don't know God, you can't know love. Christian single, hear me. I don't care how good he, she looks on the outside. If they don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, they cannot love you. Apart from Jesus Christ, they can't know love. This isn't meanness. This isn't spite. This is a heart that is breaking. I've got a mother who's going through a second divorce. They cannot love you if they don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're selling out. Oh, they look good. Looks change, trust me. I look nothing like I did 27 years ago. We don't know love, we know lust, but that's not love. Wonderful plan. You're joking, right? You're joking. Look at the world around us. We have inoculated them. Millions of years, death and suffering. They can't see a wonderful plan. All I see is a world filled with millions of years of death and suffering. What kind of a plan is that? What kind of a God would do that? They've been trained, inoculated. But out of all that thing, now I'm not saying that those aren't right, but I'm saying that the world hears and understands us a different way. Even, we might say it correctly, but they don't get it. Out of all that mess, you get one thing right, Christian. It is my life. Don't impose your values on my life. And then how are we going to overcome that? We get out there and we start talking to people. And then too many of us like me, I'm not chucking stones at you. I'm chucking them at me. When I preach to you, I'm preaching to me. I run into these folks and they start asking me all these questions. And you know what typically happens to me after about three or four questions? The hair on the back of my neck starts standing up. I feel the blood pressure coming up. I feel the red coming. And once the red gets about here, it's all done. I've lost my witness. I'm not chucking stones at you. I'm preaching to me. What I've got to get in my mind is that all those whatabouts, oh, instead of getting angry, the minute I get that conversation going and somebody starts asking whatabouts, you know what I should be doing? I should be doing backflips. You know why? Because by dealing with the whatabouts, I'm earning the right to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. We've lost the right to impose Christianity. Come on. Christianity, we can't impose it anymore. Look at all the fakes. Look at all the frauds. We've lost the right to impose it. By dealing with the whatabouts, getting real conversations, having answers for the reason for the hope that lies within me, and having real conversation with people that teach global warming as professors in the University of the UK, I earn the right to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because you see, I'm breaking down the stereotype. They're expecting me to be that angry, antagonistic person. You're not what I expected. It's kind of like the Terminator movie again. Remember the Terminator character in Terminator 1? Was he a good guy or a bad guy? The Terminator character, good guy or bad guy in Terminator 1? Bad guy. But Terminator 2, was the Terminator character a good guy or a bad guy? A good guy. What happened? What made the change? He got reprogrammed. He got reprogrammed. Christian, according to Barna, the vast majority of Christians do not behave differently because they do not think differently, and they do not think differently because we have never trained them, equipped them, or held them accountable to do so. We've got an entire generation that we in the church have to program our young folks differently because the world's programming them in a totally different way, and unless we understand the strongholds that have been built up, we'll never reach them. That's what I do with the media. It's ideas. I'm not telling you to do it. You think I spend all this time in front of TV? I don't. I have people sending me the clips. And I will bring them and show them. Yes. That's why I did this book, Remote Control, the Power of Hollywood on Today's Culture. You want to hear my heart? Amazon.com. 273,869. What can I do?
5 stars.
What's that?
5 stars.
1 review. You think I've pushed you? You think I've challenged you? One thing you can't do in heaven. My buddy Mark, that I told you challenges me, he wrote this book. You want somebody to challenge you? One thing you can't do in heaven. Bring Mark Cahill up here. You want somebody that's going to push you out of your comfort zone? There's one thing you can't do in heaven, and that's lead a lost person to the Lord Jesus Christ, because that only can happen here, and that's our job, to get out and speak. You're struggling with issues. The clips that I showed you on Lucy, do you know how powerful that is to the public school child that just watched that movie, for you to sit down and talk to them? They're all contained on this right here, Lucy, She's No Lady by Dave Menton. Use those clips to show the public school child what they really did to make those bones fit to be our evolutionary ancestor. The talk that I did this afternoon at 12, the best evidence that God created. I don't make a dime when you buy these DVDs, so don't think I'm trying to sell them to you. You like the way that I do things? Cool. I don't make anything off of them. I turned this over to the ministry when I first came in. But if you like that approach, that's there. If you like the media one, that's out there. Exposing the Evolution and Entertainment. That talk that I just did is out there with different examples. Finding Nemo, Lilo, and Stitch, Incredibles, that's all in here. Answers to Difficult Issues is actually the fossil talk that I did last night. I don't know why people keep messing with the titles, but that's what it is. This is the fossil talk. All I'm saying is get excited, get equipped, because the world is crying. Would you be willing to talk about what happened yesterday with our waiter? Would you please? Just share this. Guys, I'm telling you, if you start asking waiters and waitresses how you can pray for them, if you see me in a year, you will thank me. I'll let her finish.
Okay, sound man, you got it? We took Carl out to lunch yesterday, and of course, we were challenged, right? And you were actually on the phone that one quick moment there. And I asked him his name and had a little conversation with him. And I said, we were challenged in church today to ask our people that serve us, like a waiter, to pray for them. And I said, I want to give you a little bit of time. So, you know, think about it. And when you come back out. And he was a well waiting to spurt. And you were on the phone. But that was because we had music last night. And he wanted... Greg, what did he actually ask for? Direction, focus, and direction. And so we thanked him for his input, and we prayed. We did pray for him. And then when our meal was done, he came out again, and Carl shared a little bit more with him, gave him his card, and he just broke his heart open to us, saying how lonely he was. He has all these friends. I'm so busy. And he was just ready. He was ready. And we had the privilege of being there. And so hopefully Carl will hopefully hear from him. And Greg and I said, Carl, he needs a connection here. So here's our email. So if he does come to you, he'll pass it on to us. I did invite him up here, but he's from North Muskegon. So I said, you know, if this is too far for you, we'll find you a church that's more convenient to you. But he was a wellspring ready to just overflow, and he was very willing to talk. And it was really refreshing to see the challenge that we were given and that heart that needed us to be there at that moment. And it was a privilege, wasn't it, Carl and Greg?
Pray for Nick. That's his name, Nick. And he needs to know the Lord Jesus Christ. You can be in the midst of a room this size with all these people, and you can be extremely lonely. Father, thank you. Thank you for the last 2 days. I pray that you have again been uplifted, that your name has been uplifted, that your word has been uplifted, that the truth has been spoken. Even though I am a fallen, fallible man, I acknowledge that. I want to be a humble servant. Lord, I know that's the same desire of every Christian in this room. We want to be a humble servant. Give us wisdom. Motivate us to speak the truth in love. Help us to learn what we need to learn so that when those doors open up, we can represent you well, so that when we see you, Lord, when we fall on our face before you, we will hear those words that we want to hear. Well done. Well done. Thank you, Lord, for these people. Guide and direct them. I pray in Jesus' name. Pastor James, thank you for letting me be here.
Thanks, Carl. Good way to end our couple days, and I think it was a good way to be challenged tonight. And I would just encourage us, because I think there's a tendency when we get challenged like this, there's always good intentions. And I think sometimes with these kinds of situations, we get all stirred up and we get kind of emotional and say, you know what, it's time to make some changes. But what will that look like a week or 2 weeks, a month, 2 months from now? I don't know, you know? I think sometimes those good intentions maybe don't go that far, maybe as far as they should be sometimes. And so I want us to think through that seriously. And it may be sitting down and writing some things down. Here are some things that are going to change, and here are some things we're going to do different, or here are some things we're going to read. And this verse just came to my mind as Carl was talking tonight, just dealing with the whole issue of discernment. But Paul just uses this, and let me just read this verse to you, and it says prayer for the Philippian church. He says, "This is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and in depth of insight." And I like this because this is foundational now to what he's going to say next. Now, that my love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight is really that I love what God says, and that I pursue what God says, and that I go deeper with what God says. And here's the reason why, verse 10, so that you may be able to discern what is best in the things that we watch, and the things that we do, and the things that we hear, in the media that is out there so prevalent, in the books that we read, in the music that we listen to, and on the list goes. And that we may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness, so that we are productive in the world that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. So I would just encourage you, let's be passionate about who God is, and let's be passionate about what God says, because in that, you will become more discerning, and you will become more pure and blameless, you'll become a more effective light, and you'll be fruitful. But you can go out of here with good intentions, but if you don't pursue him and you don't pursue what he says, your good intentions will fall by the wayside very, very quickly. So I just say that for your encouragement, for as an exhortation to myself and to all of us, because I think we've been challenged in a number of ways over the last couple days, but we have to do something with it. Good intentions don't take us very far at all. I have good intentions to do some projects in my home. You know what I'm saying? But if I don't have the tools to actually go and do it, I'm not going to do it. And God's given us all the tools. And I think we need to pick up the tools, and we need to start working at it. And God will bless that, and we will be fruitful for the kingdom. Amen? So may God help us to that end. Thanks for coming. It's been a good couple days. Thank you, Carl. Appreciate you being with us. It's been great. And thank you for taking time out of your busy schedules, everyone, to be part of this as well. It's been good. So all of the resources, one more time, they're out there on your way out. Please feel free to check those out and stay as long as you need to. Thanks. You're dismissed.